Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. We are so close to football. We can taste it. Only a few more days until week zero games. And I know this man is very excited. How do I know he's psychotic about college? Well, he played it, first of all, very well. But also, he's wearing a UTSA Roadrunners hat at this very moment. He did not play for the UTSA Roadrunners. No. He played for the Stanford Cardinal. His name is Steve Coughlin, but you know him better as Stanford Steve from the SVP Hour of SportsCenter, and also Stanford Steve and the Bear, fine podcast on ESPN's family of podcasts. Stanford Steve, it is a pleasure to have you here.
I thank you very much, Andy. Awesome. I do have to say, top three podcast entry music in the business. I love music.
It's great. I work out to it.
No, it's great. Been trying to keep up with you as much as possible with all your different guests between newly promoted Ubben, who I love and I'm glad, happy for him, and that crazy guy Wasserman. I need to catch up with him and Nicole and everybody else. So the time is here, and I'm pumped you thought of me. And yes, I am sporting the Roadrunners because I am expecting big things in San Antonio this year.
We're going to get into okay. Some win totals. But first I want to get your opinion on what Ari and I are up to, because we were texting back and forth when we were setting up, doing the show, and I don't know who's gotten to listen to which episode. Mm-hmm. So I'm never sure. So I text Steve and I say, hey, we're doing this bet. I'm giving Ari 15 points. Loser has to eat a banana like Will Levis. And all Steve texts back is, I listen. So, am I insane for giving Ari 15 points in that game?
Yes, you are. Because, well, let's go with both sides. All right. I understand where you're coming from. When I look at LSU this year, I do see potential. You've pointed out many a times, they do not have Bo Pelini anymore. That was number one on the list for me to think highly of LSU this year. But I'm a Max Johnson believer. I was reading the other day, his mom was a D1 soccer player too. Also,
correct.
Is that right? Yeah.
Like, yeah. And genes and dad are there. Played football and hoops.
I recently watched back the throw shoe game, and that's still one of the most amazing outcomes of a game. I mean, with the fog and everything that came, I'm still watching it going, how does this happen? How does this happen? Oh yeah, that's how it happens. And but with LSU, when you talk to guys around that program and everything, like I've always been a believer. I wasn't on high on O as they were when they got him. But you know, he was one of them, and they wanted him, and obviously they got the title in 19. And then last year, opening game happens. I'm watching KJ Costello, former Stanford quarterback. Like, holy cow, is this what happens if a Pac-12 quarterback goes to the SEC? Is this possible? And then he goes on the wayside and Mississippi State goes their ways. But LSU
24-2 against Kentucky.
Yes. LSU not only gets that embarrassment, the Alabama game was just not what we're capable of seeing. And this is coming from a guy, I believe, in the last 10 years, I've been at 9. Or 8 of the LSU Alabama games, and last year was not one of them. So watching that from afar was like, this isn't good. But they got up off the deck, and that's what you look for in a head coach, is how are you going to get your kids to respond? They come up, they end the year well, gave A&M all they can handle, and now you got that. You got that behind you. Can you use that almost as a whole program redshirt season? I've heard that thrown around with a lot of programs. The talent is there. He made the changes he needed to. Like I said, I'm a believer in Johnson. I think Butte is absolutely phenomenal. So I see what you're saying. But I do have to mention, I'm a believer. I know the numbers aren't lining up really well the last couple of years. And when a team has a game under their belt against a team who's in their first game, if you look back in 1999, I was able to live one of those. NC State goes to Austin and beats Texas. Stanford goes to Austin the next week and loses 69-17. I'm a believer that a game under your belt works.
Work out
for
the
you.
Kinks game.
Yes. Yes. So when you look at UCLA, there's a lot to like. You look at last year, look at the teams they should have beaten. They had leads over all three in the fourth quarter: Oregon, SC, Stanford. They lose to Stanford in overtime. They lose to SC in an incredible fashion, and they lose the lead at Oregon earlier in the year. So the goods are there, and I'm a guy. I'm still a Chip Kelly believer. I believe in his mind more than most guys. The talent is there. You talk to him. He likes what he has. Chip doesn't really – he's not really a complimentary guy. But when he does say things, you know, that stick out in complimenting fashion, I listen. And he likes the goods he has. You know, DTR is back. We've seen his good. We've seen his bad. I expect a lot more consistency when you talk to the guys that seen all the college quarterbacks work out this summer. So I'm expecting big things, and that's why I have UCLA and San Jose State on my eyes here in week zero as my most opportune teams, because I want to see what they're bringing to the table, knowing what's at stake for those two teams in week one, what we going once we get going. But 15 points kind of feels like a lot, Andy.
Well, I feel very nervous about it because I think this will be Chip Kelly's best UCLA team.
Mm-hmm.
I just think LSU is going to be back to normal, and Chip Kelly's best UCLA team, even if it's the best team in the Pac-12 South, could lose to a good LSU team by 15 or more.
Okay.
I think it's also the only way I can make Ari take the bet.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And we like our action. So we got to get the action on the line, even if you got to go out a little farther. I do, you know, I love these games because they've always lived up to it. I think about SEC schools coming out to the Pac-12 to play. I remember LSU going to Tempe back in, God, what was that, 06? I think it was Jamarcus Russell. They came back late and won in Tempe. You think of Josh Rosen against Texas A&M a couple of years back. Like, these are awesome for the sport. I love seeing the SEC teams get out of that Southeast and come out and see the world. Come out to the West. We got beautiful things out there. So it's a very, very interesting and fascinating matchup. But I will side. I think 15 is a lot of points. That's all.
It is. The secret
more than 14.
Sauce.
I thought you might go 14, but you did 15. Yeah.
I had to make him take the bet. So he took the bet. Now somebody has to eat a banana, peel and all. And I think I can handle that.
I think you're going to like it.
He can. I do too. I do. Yes. I do too. It's not going to be like the mayonnaise thing.
No, please don't mention that, because that grossed me out.
So everybody said, now what was the audio worse or the video?
No,
worse?
I hate mayonnaise as much as you do. Mayonnaise and mustard, I can't do. I can't smell them. I can't see them.
No mustard. Ooh, no, that's tough.
No,
that's brutal. Tough.
Brutal.
You're really limiting your condiment choices at this point.
Yep.
So you're like a Heinz 57 guy.
I'm people talk about sandwiches. I'm a red vinegar. Just give me red vinegar on the sandwich, and that's good to go.
I like that.
Taste. Yeah.
I like
not too
that.
Soggy. You can't make the. You can't break up the bread. Just got to get a
agreed.
Little douse.
Agree.
That's why you got to put it on the bread. You can't put it on the meat because it just falls off.
Yes, soggy bread is brutal. We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's talk about some of these win totals, because I've cheated. I've heard you and the Bear talking about these things, so I kind of know where you're
listening.
Going.
Appreciate
but
it.
But I feel like so you've done something that I am hesitant to do. You have gone against Phil Steele's number one bounce back team. I always feel like Phil is pretty good at spotting the bounce back team. You are going under on Penn State this year. At BetMGM, they've got him at 8.5. So
okay, well, see that's tough. Our number was 9.
You went under 9.
Our number was
okay.
9. So
under
9
feels safe
push.
Because yeah, the 9-3 push I can live with.
Yeah,
but I agree with you completely. You and the Bear talked about this at length. That Penn State Wisconsin game tells us so much one way or the other.
And I'm a guy when I look at these season win totals, Andy. I always try and find some where I'm not going to sweat a whole season out. And that, like Penn State's one where it just jumped out to me. They go to Miss Madison. I think the last time was Bill O'Brien and Hackenberg. And I think they won there. But if Penn State wins that game, I know I have a loser because they got it rolling a lot quicker than I thought. And that's what gets me to Penn State. Again, the reason I'm under is the schedule is relentless. When you look at the conference play, I'm not even throwing about the Auburn game. I'll touch on that in a second because I actually love the spot for Penn State with that game. But at Madison, I love Jim Leonard as a defensive coordinator. I can't think of much guys worse to have to face in week one in your first game than having him. We know the roller coaster that they were last year and Mertz being great against Illinois. I will say it was Illinois. And then, you know, COVID affected everybody just like that. But Penn State, I love Sean Clifford. I really do. I like everything he brings to the table. I just worry about the reckless havoc he plays with because we've seen him get nicked up. They don't have Levis. He's at Kentucky, as you mentioned. And he was a guy that I thought – I mean, he's a Connecticut. I'm from Connecticut. I know Will Levis. Like, he's an ultra-talented kid, and they just used him as a wildcat running back. Like, he could throw the football, but he's gone. And then so that leaves you two guys who don't have one snap of experience behind Clifford. And you look at the schedule. We mentioned Madison. You know, Auburn's going to have a decent defense, I would believe. You know, Indiana is going to be Indiana. I expect them to be better because I'm a believer in Tom Allen. He's going to have his guys ready to go.
We will get to Indiana, too, because you guys had an interesting conversation about them that I agree completely with. But,
okay.
But continue with Penn State.
At Columbus. At Iowa, I know you know that side is going to be improved. I mean, they got their butts handed to them by Maryland last year, and now they go to Maryland this year. I just think 9 wins is the ceiling when I look at the schedule in its totality, and I like Yurcich as the hire. He wanted to go – or I should say Franklin wanted him, and then he chose to go to Austin for that year. And when you look at the defense, they got to replace Owe. And the other defensive end, they already have an injury up front. And when you look at that great recruiting class, and this is where it goes back to, again, the depth against the roster, that great class, I believe, is a top 5 class in 2018. There's 11 guys that are still on the team from there. And now Franklin's got it cranked up again. I expect big things from them next year and the year after. But looking at it right now, this year, I do see 9 wins as the ceiling. So I'm taking the other games as a chance to get upset, and that's why I said under 9. 8.5 is a way totally different game because I am a believer, like I said, in the offense and Clifford and all that, and they could have the best receiver in the conference, you know, outside of the Ohio State guys. But when you have to go over under on that number, I'm going under 9 wins for Penn State.
So you also went – Bear went under on Indiana. You guys – had this chat and you were trying to avoid saying anything untoward about Tom Allen because as you know, I believe he's the real Ted Lasso. He's the closest American coach to an actual Ted Lasso. Like, if you send him over to coach soccer, I don't know if he can't bake, I've heard, but he could eat biscuits like crazy. So, but that schedule, I mean, they open with Iowa. They have Cincinnati in the non-conference. Ohio State, obviously. Penn State will be better. It is hard for me to find the wins there. And their total that you looked at was what? Nine was 8.5?
I believe 8.5.
Yeah.
Indiana. Oh, Indiana, 7.5. But the over was plus money. Yeah. So you got to get to 8 wins for a winner. And yeah, I'm going to agree. Listen, Penix is a great player. I just, everybody talks about, he was in against Penn State. If they called him out, he's out and they don't get a win for that game. You know, right. it's that close to where it's a season changer, you know, and especially not knowing how anybody's going to start the season. They couldn't have started the season better with that call. And then he gets hurt. You know, he threw the ball well against Ohio State. I expect the defense to be as good. I know they lost a running back, but it's asking a lot to get up off the deck and do that again in that division. And you mentioned the crossovers. You mentioned the out of conference game against Cincinnati, who's a team that I am fascinated by this year. I would lean with the bear on that Indiana under.
Let me give you another guy we've talked about in a couple different contexts is Will Levis.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky's number is 7.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a hammer the over.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I picked them to come in second in the division. I think
to beat Florida. Wow.
I do. I believe that. I think they have the goods to do that. You know, you talk about recruiting all the time, and you look at that roster and what they've done, and now you add in free agency, I call it, with the transfer portal and the coaching.
Wandale Robinson, Dara Rosenthal. Exactly. They got a linebacker from Ole Miss. They plugged some holes through the portal.
And I'll take Kennard as the best lineman in the conference. I believe in that. And just the idea, like poor UL Monroe. Week one, like I think they're getting 28 or 29 points. I think I'm going to – I know it sounds crazy to almost give 30 points with Kentucky, but I think it's a game where they just want to let everything out and get it all out and get that crowd going. Because is it week three they get Mizzou? That's a huge game.
Week two, September 11th.
So there you go. I think they got to get everything out there and give Missouri's got a new defensive coordinator and give them everything to think about what they're capable offensively. So, I do think Kentucky will finish second in the East. I do.
You said something else a couple weeks ago that intrigued me. And you guys were talking about the Clemson-Georgia game, and you said, mm-hmm. Does this game matter? You asked the Bear, does this game matter? And you say it doesn't matter at all. I will give you a scenario where it could matter greatly to a league, not necessarily to a team.
Mm-hmm.
If Georgia wins,
mm-hmm.
It very much sets up the possibility of two SEC teams in the playoff.
Correct. And that's why I don't think it means much, Andy, because we know the value these two teams carry. You know, I say it's the top five right now and against everybody else. And these two teams are part of that top five. When you look at the rankings, when you look at the stature of teams that they've done in recent years. And I think, I'm at a point where I really want somebody to break through. And I'm worried about that because the loser's game is not going to drop. You got to drop. I'm not saying drop 10 spots. Like I said, it is a top five matchup. But when it comes down to it, both these teams with the stature they carry are going to be able to play themselves in. And what I mean by that, it's based off of what their opponents do. You know, like I think Clemson is going to get all they can handle from a team like Boston College this year, who is a team I'm really high on because of the way they're built. But to me, the stature of Clemson and Georgia, this game really doesn't mean much. Now, I'll be definitely tuning in to watch it because of what's the new talent I'm going to see.
Yeah.
You know, so I get it. It's a top five matchup week one, and we have the names and we got the faces and we got the coaches and all that. But to me, it really doesn't mean much because the stature they carry, and they're going to be able to play their ways back into it.
Yeah, but the only that scenario that if Georgia wins, where if Georgia can be 12-0 going to the SEC championship game, and they happen to lose to a West champ that is either 12-0 or 11-1 going into the game, they're both getting in that scenario. That's just that's how it's good. I'm sorry to everybody else.
So you would take if you were going to take one team in the SEC to go undefeated in conference play, you would take Georgia.
Yes, because their path is the easiest. Gotcha. They have no Alabama, no LSU, no Texas A&M. Florida, meanwhile, has Alabama and LSU. Yeah. And obviously the teams in the West are in the West. So that's the issue there. And I am curious because, like I said, I think LSU is going to bounce back big. I feel like the distance between Alabama and the rest of the West is less than it was last year, obviously, when they had super special team. But if Texas A&M... Are we sure that whoever they decide on as a starting quarterback, and I'm assuming, I think it's going to be Haynes King.
Yep.
Are we sure he's not going to be as good as Kellen Mond? Could he be better than Kellen Mond?
I think there's more upside there. I really do. When you look at A&M, the way that freakazoid Leal on the D-line, have you seen that guy?
Like,
I'll go back. You probably remember this. There was a situation – I believe they were down two scores to Florida, and they're backed up on their own 20-yard line, and I think they got a delay a game or a false start, and Jimbo just snaps, throws the clipboard, calls timeout, and he brings the team over. And I want to say they go back on the field, and they ran the ball nine straight times with Spiller. And from that on, then on, they just kept getting better and better to me. And that resonated to me because you talk about the recruiting and, you know, everybody follows Billy Lucci down there with Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And he's as friend as positive as there is. Yeah. And, you know, so you hear about the recruits, you know, maybe more than other schools. At least I do, because they want to, you know, showcase what they're getting. And Jimbo's made it a point. We got to win recruiting battles and this and that. So I'm more familiar with the names, but to finally see those guys up front, the O-line and the D-line guys that they made a big deal about getting, because that's the way Jimbo says he's got to win, to see those guys show out in that. And I was like, oh, wow, they got it going now. And now we know what Kellen Mond was. He did get better, probably had his best year as last year. And it comes down, obviously, with turnovers. And if Jimbo, who is a guy who I trust with quarterbacks a lot more than other guys, I do expect big things from A&M. This year, and I could see a higher upside. Now, they need some of those receivers. They also been touting a lot to step up because there's been some guys that haven't come through that we've heard plenty about.
It's time for Damon Demas
to
live up to the recruiting hype.
That's the name.
But yeah, and then the offensive line, obviously they got to replace four or five starters. The one starter who's back is a potential first-rounder, Kenyon Green. But the replacing of the offensive line is sort of a test of the recruiting. Is it as good as you've told us it is? Is it as good as 24/7 has told us it is? And we'll see. I mean, but I feel like the way they built that roster, they're going to get better. Mm-hmm. So I'm very intrigued by the SEC West this year. I'm not just handing it to Alabama. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And you mentioned that you had a question about that Alabama-Miami opener.
Mm-hmm. I did. And you are a former voter now? Is that how we frame you?
Yeah, I voted for five seasons from 09 through 13. So
okay. And I have a question. If Miami beats Alabama, mm-hmm. and let's say Clemson wins 3-2 over Georgia. All right.
Yep.
I think Miami should be the number one ranked team in the country.
I could buy that. I mean, what you're worried about is Alabama being ranked above Miami even after Miami would beat them.
That's another point. Yeah, definitely. I don't, because what are they, 14
now? I would
never,
with one game in, I would take the team that won the game. That they would be ranked higher.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's
no one game, and it's week one.
Yeah.
You know? And that goes back to my point about these top five teams that have the stature, and Alabama's one of them, is that they lose. They don't fall. Like we just talked about 10 minutes about the West and how good it's going to be. They have a chance to play their way back in. Everybody talks about they don't have to play tough out of conference games because they have the tough conference games. Well, drop them and let them play their way back into it. Give those teams that don't have losses a little more credit. And that's my argument across the board. The teams that don't lose, give them a little bit more credit. I understand the competition, but let it play out.
Yeah. Well, and I think that'll be fine. I'm very curious about this Miami-Alabama game because I remember Miami-Clemson last year and being very hopeful that somebody was ready to challenge Clemson because it would just make the ACC more fun. I think North Carolina may be getting there. But when I watched that game, it was clear that Miami coaches had watched the film and been like, nope, we can't run on these guys. And no attempt was made to run the ball. And that offense doesn't work if you can't run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So we will find out how different, whether Miami feels differently about their roster and about their physicality up front by whether they try to run the ball in Alabama. Because if they try, it means they think they got something there.
Yep. And I've heard you talk about it in the inability of that Malzahn, Rhett Lashley offense. If you're not going to be able to get the inside run game going, you got not a lot of options left with that offense. Now, I will say this, obviously, you know, with the Alabama roster, I think we're going to get, I can't believe I'm going to say this, an older school Saban Alabama team.
Yeah, no, you're right. Their defense is going to be much better. Yes.
You know, and it's funny because you say, are they going to abandon the run? For some reason on the SEC Network the other night, the playoff game from, I think it was 17, the Sugar Bowl when Bama beats Clemson 24-6. Mm-hmm. And Clemson still had that D-line, and Alabama just kept pounding with Damian Harris. You know, Najee had a couple carries in there.
And eventually you slipped a Ron Payne out the back door.
Exactly. And, you know, to me, it's just that mindset of, you know, Saban just saying, hey, we're going to still try and do this. We have different ways to attack it. Let's empty the bucket on how we're going to attack it. And Dable was the OC then. So when you go back now with Bill O'Brien, who, I mean, people say what you want. Christian Hackenberg never played better football in his life than when Bill O'Brien was his coach at Penn State.
You're exactly right.
I still don't think Bill O'Brien gets credit for what he was able to withstand in at Penn State when he was there. And, you know, you could say what you want as an NFL GM. I think the world of the guy as an X and O's football coach. But the transition, maybe he's – or I'm not going to say maybe. He's going to be a lot more of a hard ass than Sark was. As Sark, you know, Sark wants to take care of his toys and keep everybody happy. You know, this is just going to be a different way of going about things. New O-line coach, new quarterback who obviously is all world, talented as hell. But to get in that mix right away and to think he's just going to step in and take off and that offense is going to be as good as it was the last couple of years with Tua and Mac is asking a lot of the kid. And I'm really fascinated to see that week one matchup because I just want to see it. You know, everybody wants to, who you like, who you want, who you betting in this game. I'm not afraid to be, I don't even know, a non-committal because there's some, I have to see it. All right. Give me a game. Give me a game.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I have these deeply held opinions that I've formed over this offseason, but they're meaningless.
Yes.
You ever seen it? Like, I think LSU is going to be a lot better. I could be completely wrong. I think Kentucky will be able to play on defense this year or on offense this year, that they'll have a dynamic offense. I could be completely wrong. I think Penn State will be good right out of the gate, as opposed to last year where we all know what the circumstances were at the beginning of their season. Like, but I could be completely wrong. So I am willing to accept that. And that's the whole thing with the voting thing. I think with the voting, you just have to be willing to admit you were wrong.
Correct.
Or that you just don't have enough information. And instead of voting on what you presumed, vote on the little bit of information you have and then build on that every week is the way I always did it.
And every person has a podcast. So if you have a question of why you did something, go on somebody's podcast and talk about it. Why you voted this way. You know?
Exactly.
Don't hide behind anything. Let us know.
No, there's no reason to hide that. I think it's explaining and being transparent about that is the easiest way to handle it. And now, but the thing is that pisses people off when I tell them this, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Like when you get to 12, the difference between 12 and 20 is negligible. The difference between 20 and 45 is negligible.
Correct.
So that's the other.
Yeah. So then what's your criteria?
What you rank this team 23 and my team's also receiving votes and I don't understand. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I think this team would win if they played. Sorry. Maybe I'll be wrong. So sometimes you just slide a piece of paper between them. So you just don't know.
Exactly.
Before I let you go, Steve, I know, you know, it's in the intro to your podcast, everyone's Uncle Brent telling us you got to love teams getting points at home. So I want to ask you about this weekend. Brett Bielema is getting a touchdown at home against Nebraska.
Yes.
Why on earth would I ever take Nebraska in this situation?
Because the other team has an eye on their helmet and you've been in a time machine and haven't seen any football in the last 15 years.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I was getting at. So Illinois beat Nebraska in Lincoln last year.
Yes.
Is this Illinois team that much worse? And is this Nebraska team that much better that now suddenly Nebraska is a touchdown better than Illinois in Champaign?
I just talked about, let me see a game. This is a game I need to see.
Right.
Because, I mean, you go back, now it's 4 years. Martinez for Nebraska played his best football in a Nebraska uniform as a freshman. A freshman, that was his best he looked. And the one thing I'll say on the Illinois side is Bielema's got a fresh slate here. And what I love about him is he's been, and he is, one of the most stubborn minds in college football. Now, will that stubbornness hurt him in a scenario where he's like, week one, if we're going to win, this is how we're going to do it, and he doesn't go to option B? If he just says, all right, this is our plan, and this is what we're sticking with, and Nebraska has some advantages out on the, you know, on the outside, and they're exploiting him, and they don't have an answer there, that's where I could see this Nebraska thing. But it is a complete stay away from me because of the unknown we have on both sides of the ball in a division. Well, I actually picked Iowa to win that side of the division this year.
Okay.
So I got a lot. I need to see it. I need to see what Illinois and Nebraska look like, because there's also a thing, you know, as you start prioritizing your TVs, Andy, down the line as the weeks go on, Illinois and Nebraska might play their way off of a TV based on this week one performance.
This is probably the only time the eyes of the nation will be focused on both those teams at the same time. Now, the Bielema stubbornness thing is interesting to me because you're exactly right. And it served him well for a little bit until it didn't. and it ended awfully at Arkansas. Does working with Belichick for a couple of years make you less stubborn? Do you pay attention to that stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I totally think so. I look at, I mean, Brett's, I mean, he's a phenomenal mind. When you go back and look what they were able to sustain, you know, as a program after Barry. And I'm a guy who, my last college football game, I lost to Barry Alvarez in the Rose Bowl. And I think the world of what they did at that place. And I there's no way Brett's stubborn enough not to believe anything he's seen the last couple of years in New England. I think there's plenty of sense. Now, does he, and this is where it gets into it, does he have the goods to try these new things out? That's where the stubbornness comes in, because he could say, you know what, we're not built yet. And what do we talk about, you know, the great coach is doing now? Adapting to what you have. And that's the main question. How much can you adapt and keep your beliefs on the same level? That's what we're going to find out.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. But I just look at, so Frost has the great year at UCF, mm-hmm. following a kind of medium year, which was fine because they were coming off 0-12. Mm-hmm. But nothing he's done at Nebraska has suggested this is going to get turned around. And mm-hmm. and I got to say, finding out that they were doing secret workouts and they still stunk like that.
It's not a good look.
If you're going to do secret workouts, at least be good. Like that during COVID, like at least be good because you did that. That's what worries me. I'm just not sure whatever formula there is. And I still think you can win at Nebraska. I don't think you can win the way Tom Osborne did.
No.
But I think there is a way to win, you know, at the level of Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, or
no doubt.
Maybe
no doubt
toward
about
the
it.
Level of Paul Chryst at Wisconsin.
Yep.
You can do it, but he hasn't found it yet.
No.
And so I'm not sure I'm confident in him to find it at this point.
I will say in a place now, when you look at it, to what they've done, I mean, Mike Riley, who was as impressive as a guy when I played in the Pac-12 and seeing what he did in the Pac-12, and you bring him in and the overturn, I understand people want results, but I still think you got to give Frost, you know, a year to see what this is because of the overturn. There was just so many transfers in the roster and what it looked like. And you look at the quarterback position, then you think you have it figured out with Martinez, and then you get the high recruit McCaffrey in, and you try and play both and that doesn't work out. Like, now this is it, you know, but you look at that schedule and it is a bear. There is.
Yeah.
That's my
other worry about them is I'm just not sure if they win this game against Illinois, then you got Fordham and you got the Buffalo team where half the team went to Kansas to follow Leipold. So you're 3-0, you got great feelings, you go into Norman, you get smoked, but that's fine because you expected that. But if you're 2-1 and you've lost to Illinois and you're looking at, oh God, are we going to be able to win a game in the division?
Yeah.
It's a completely different scenario.
Yes. Yes. I agree with you there. And that's why I expect a very good and polished offensive look from Nebraska, but knowing what's at stake here, as you just mentioned, with that start of the schedule.
Well, I can't wait. Steve, real football is like 4 days away.
It is
so awesome.
It is.
Well, I can't think of a better person to celebrate that with. So thank you so much. And we are going to have to dine on some prime rib for 2-for-1 again here very
soon.
That's
what we do. Yes, absolutely. See you soon, my man.
Thanks, Steve.